Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song. The melody.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Tracy McCrae.
And I am once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration. But that was long ago. Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song. Beside a garden wall, when stars are bright, you are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale of paradise where roses grew. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it will remain. My stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain. Sometimes I wonder why. I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. When our love was new, each kiss an inspiration. But that was long ago, so long ago, so long ago. My consolation is in the stardust of a song. Beside a garden wall, when stars are bright, you are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale of paradise where roses grew. Though I dream in vain, in my heart stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Had a little button there down, but typical. Nice, wet day out there, and seeing the clouds drift in and change the scene every 5 minutes. It's really beautiful. That's why you should do like me. You know, I'm going to force you guys to start caring about the environment and what have you, because this is it's almost a dream, folks. And most of us, we wake up for about 5 minutes and we spew and then we go back to sleep. We need to stay awake and watch what's happening out here, what's going on. And there's a couple things that we're going to be chatting about this morning. And, you know, I just love it I don't expect the world to just stop turning when we speak here at the station or say something on the shows, but we can always go back and say, well, we knew that right from the onset. And a couple of those things today, we're going to talk about them. And they are, you know, there's this recent ruling by Judge Gilmore that the city's practice of seizing the property from the homeless and what have you. Well, we said that long time ago and said that, and in fact, there was a comment. I had someone to call up and says, well, you call the mayor Little Hitler. And once again, let me reiterate, the mayor behaves like Hitler. I'm not backing off of that. Now the judges have ruled the same thing, seizing people's, free people's property, destroying it, seizing their IDs. Yeah, that's imprisonment. When you, in law enforcement, you take someone's ID, that's detainment. When you stop them and you want to, so when you take their property, something's wrong here. But there's a couple of questions, and feel free, I'm going to be real loose today with my tongue and my time, so feel free to call in 524-1080 and share your thoughts about this. But there was just horrible behavior, horrible practices allowed by the state, the city, and encouraging it. So the mayor is wrong for chasing the people and seizing their property. So how is it that he could do that and has a cadre or a battery of lawyers call the council services, right? And the city council also voted on some of these rules, and they have lawyers. So where are these people getting their interpretation of the law? Who's advising them? We have enough lawyers in the city council and corp council that it make you sick when you realize how many people we're paying to get the same old nonsense. But who is advising the mayor? Who is advising the city council that you could do this? And why did it fall on deaf ears when the city council was told and saw that people were being violated in their properties and materials taken to Halava and stored up there, and the person loses a bus pass, loses their ID, loses everything, and has to pay to get it back? That's bad. I caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Aloha.
Good morning.
How you doing? This is Tony Arneo from Ella Beach.
Yeah, Tony.
Yeah, we have a problem, too, down at Howe Bush or Oneola Beach Park, where they've been confiscating the homeless and stuff. Yeah, what I called for is about Bill 62 and 63 that got deferred last Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was concerned about sharing you with the Bill 62 and 63 got deferred.
Okay, what is 62? Listeners out there that don't know.
No, it's about the shoreline.
Okay, but yeah. I mean, what specifically? Can you give the listeners some detail? Clearly,
yeah. Yeah, okay. The deferred bill is about the, they wanted to build the resort closer to the ocean.
Okay.
So they got deferred because they don't know what the hell they're doing. Like, they said one thing to, Councilman, Anderson, that they want to build this, they want to do this, but they don't give the exact thing they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to give about this much, about that, but they didn't give exact what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, last week Friday, we found some Evie Kapuna
mm-hmm.
on the bathroom that we got hooking up to the sewer line. Right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
So we found that we called...
So while digging the sewer line to put in a pipe to open the bathrooms, you found Evie Kapuna, or for those that are not familiar with the term,
burial remains. Yeah, they found remains, neck bone and shoulder bones, Mm-hmm. So it was moved, but they did the right thing. But the whole area, like Honeoula Beach Park, is a burial area mm-hmm. at one time, like 500 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was a fishing village at that time. So they had destroyed a lot of, during this development, they had destroyed a lot of Iwi Kapuna. So now, you know, like, they gotta watch what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They cannot progress any further because they don't know what they're doing with the past.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't go to the future until they understand what the past is all about.
Let me ask you this. Well,
yes.
Tony,
yes.
You mentioned Ikaika Anderson as a city yes. councilman. What is your city councilwoman, Kimberly Pine, doing?
I mean, Kimberly Pine.
And let's talk straight skinny now. I mean, if she's what is going on? Why are we if I recall right, she's the one that as soon as they declared that they were not going to build the marina as they had been dangling that carrot as part of the approval process and all of that, she in turn came and condoned the fact and supported the fact that they didn't have to build a marina and stick to the original plans, and said that I recall some nonsensical statement. She says that, oh, well, it's just going to be a lagoon, and we could use that because I'm an athlete or whatever, marathon runner, and she could use it to practice and swim, and others could. You remember that?
Yes. But, so, you know, that's all she bought, you know.
I understand, but...
If you look at the bill does not change. It still stays. It's a marina. It doesn't change like it's going to be, their little pond they want to build.
Right.
The bill didn't change. It still states it's a marina.
Right.
It doesn't say otherwise.
Well, I got that part, but I'm just trying to focus on the human aspect of it. Why is it that community out there being represented by someone who double speaks, and then you're having to get together and then go appeal to the public for understanding and support, and when in fact the person that has your vote or your voice muzzles it and hide behind the money in the books. I think you guys, what my recommendation would be is vote her out.
Yes, I mean, that's my exact thought.
I mean, because there's no way. So, you know, at first, the Limu, they promised this, they promised
that.
I remember way back, and you may be familiar, years ago, got out there and I hiked the area and photographed it and documented it. And when we heard about the proposal to build Haseko, and they promised everything under the sun.
Right.
And now you see that really they are not adhering to much of what was promised.
Well, that's not exactly our thought. The older, we've been fighting these guys for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mind is rezoning the shoreline, polluting the beach, you know, because it is coral.
Right.
You know, it's all reef. But they're trying to make like it's going to be a beautiful place for swimming and stuff. It's a fishing area.
And it'll be, what will it be? How bush is real important to the community out there because they fish, they recreate, they camp, they go out and visit. And to have this place plop down and make these promises, you'll end up such as Koalina. Remember, they're going to build a boat ramp. And they're going to make these promises. Now you have a few parking spaces. I think, so Bill 63, what are you asking people to do in support of your efforts?
Well, they need to read the bill. It's 500 pages long.
Oh,
and
God.
Then it is. My daughter read it. She understands it. She told me about it, and that's why her and I and the Everbeach Association are against this bill.
Okay, so it's 500 pages. In a nutshell, what can you say to the people you're asking to rally around and support you?
You've got to be due diligent on top of this. Because we got only 100-something days. So January 16 or something, it's going to come up again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're going to need to be on top of this.
Well, I and then Bill 6, and there's another call, but go ahead. What was the other bills, and what do you...
62 and 63.
Okay, and 62 is... go ahead, give some background on that.
Well, you know, I don't... all I can say, we have to stop this bill, 62 and 63. They need to be on top of this bill.
That, yeah. So what is being proposed in the bill is adverse to what
the people
want.
It's a walkway. They want to make a walkway from White Sand Beach all the way to Kupiki Road.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to definitely destroy the whole beachfront,
the whole shoreline,
and other things inside that bill, what they want to do. We'll definitely destroy the shoreline.
Okay.
Stop our legal.
And then will the public have access, or they'll have five parking spaces? When we say, will the public have access?
Yeah,
but
actually,
I
should have prepared myself
But
I will call you up and give you the exact bill, what it pertains.
Yeah, when they say they have access, what's normal practice here is that they make all those declarations, and then the access is actually restricted.
What it is another way of choking our community.
Choking the people out, the people that live there.
Choking the people out.
And look how they built the thing, a big wall on the back side, on the southern side, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want you in there, bro.
Yeah. Actually, they wanted to make a...
Mississippi comes to Hawaii. Stay out of my neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, see, you know what? We were planning the community. We were like, since they want to build this lake or whatever they want to put in there, you know, they should really reconsider what they're doing, and yet we can raise fish in there and use that for, like a moy, because it's deep. It's 20 feet deep.
Yeah, let
you
me
put moy and different types.
Can
of fish.
I make a suggestion to you?
Yes.
And I don't have all the details now because things may have changed, but that is you talk about a shibai. First of all, because such a development needs drainage.
Yeah, it must be drained all of it out to
such a development, because you see, it's prone to flooding in some of those areas.
Yeah,
and so
like
you want to drain, and then there's golf courses, so you're going to be spraying the golf courses. You're going to have all the lawn chemicals and all that running in that lagoon, right? And then you can raise moy and all of that, but there's a possibility that area will be contaminated with the different chemicals used and the household chemicals and all of that, and the non-point pollution, the runoff from cars and all of that. So,
and they said they didn't. It's not polluted.
Well, not polluted, but it can get polluted. And where is the runoff going to go?
And the
heavy
metals in the
TPHs and all of that. Where is that going to go? And so it collects. So I would be careful and ask those questions. Say, well, you make this promise that it's a lagoon.
Well, that's what happened at that meeting.
Uh-huh.
We asked all the questions. They didn't have all the answers.
Right.
That's why I got deferred.
Well, good. But, that deferral, did you guys have a lot of showing and they decide to defer it and then quietly come back and introduce it at another date?
Yeah.
Well, keep us posted.
Yes, I will. Thank you very much.
Let's talk about it. And I'll try and pull up that bill. Bill 63 and 61.
Yeah, 62 and 63.
62, 63. Okay, 62.
Aloha, thank you.
All right, Tony.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Good morning. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Good morning, brother.
Good morning. Hello. You there? Give me a call back on this. This is apparently when we get one phone call in. That's a strange one there. You answer the call and it hangs up on you. Anyway, call a call back. Thanks for waiting there. But this thing about the homelessness, and I said before and I said now, it's a shameful practice. And little regards for the law and the entities that are responsible for this behavior, the mayor, the city council, all of them. There is a constitution, and you don't, every situation, you don't have to go and have a template in hand and go, well, will this fit the constitution? Will this, well, you know, there are certain commonsensical things, you know. You know what the Constitution says. You know that it guards against unreasonable seizure of property and search and seizure and all of that, in paraphrasing. And so where are these people coming from when they run for office? They say, well, you know, I have a law degree and I have this expertise. And then you turn around and you observe such practices, seizing people's property. And then later down the road, years later, you're told by a federal judge that was illegal. That's just being irresponsible on the part and disrespectful to the values of American ways, of the culture, the law, the Constitution, and everything. And why do we tolerate this behavior? Why? Why do we sit and allow? What's in us now or what's not in us that we can't call things what they are and take action and vote people out for behaving in such a fashion? Go ahead, caller, with your comments. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning. Did we get cut off or something?
Yeah. Well, no. To be honest, I said from this day on, I'm going to start being honest. When I get a call, I'm going to hang up. No.
Okay. Well, no, I don't know. I was talking to Matt.
Yeah, I went and said hello and went to boom, and you disappeared.
Oh, okay. The gentleman that was on before from the south side?
Yeah.
I want to give him kudos. Because he's really, you know, putting a lot of his soul and heart into what he's doing,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, protecting the Aina. Because that whole farce of, you know, hotels over there is, like you said, this is going to be pollution heaven eventually over there. When they have the golf courses and the ponds, and everything is going to be polluted. Won't be today or tomorrow, but in the near future, you know what I mean, it'll be just like hidden dynamite.
Right. And yeah. All the heavy metals and leads and mercury.
Yeah, heavy metals especially, because that affects the young kids. It's just a terrible scene over there. You know, they're destroying probably the last on this island that mm-hmm. the Hawaiians can live on and kind of carry on with their culture.
Yeah.
You know, after that's gone, where the heck are you going to go?
But I understand Pine, the city councilwoman, has her nice little rig set up there in that facility, in that development.
Yeah, make money for her friends.
Yeah.
All these politicians, like you said, I don't care if they're a lawyer. I want some guy, you know, Joe Blow off the street probably has as much smarts for the people's, you know, benefit. You know what I mean? Just common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because them politicians, they don't work common sense. They work my friend sense.
Where do we go wrong when we're told that you know, now you have to be a lawyer to be in politics? When did that start? When did we? You have any idea? Because it seemed to be in the initial stages.
Who made that criteria, yeah?
Yeah.
Because number one, if you're a lawyer, you're halfway in the door.
Yeah.
Number two, if you're a crook, you're in the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So with them two combinations, you down the wind, because the crook brings in all the money. You mean all this money that should be coming from companies. Why is that company getting lead money?
Because, you know, I believe you don't really have to be, based on the way things are set up in theory. There's a corporation council, which is legal advice for the politician, right, who the elected officials. They have to compare, match their actions to the law or the constitutional influence.
Yeah, but that committee you just mentioned, I wonder when that was formed and who was backing and who made it, them kind of regulations and rules for politicians to be elected.
Well, it's not a rule. It's just some nonsense that we have all adopted.
I'm sorry to use the wrong word.
It's the nonsense where when we look at, step back and look at the structure of how government is set up, you have a battery of lawyers advising and guiding the elected officials the right and wrong and what's consistent with law and right. And that's why you have the Corporation Council. I mean, if you right now, let me tell you, if you call up and ask a politician the question, they're going to say, well, I'll get back to you. I got to talk to the Corporation Council.
Yeah,
right?
But
what they're saying is that when it comes election time, I'm a lawyer, and I can see these things through.
Things are proud as can be.
Which is, no, you're, first of all, you're being influenced by your political donors.
Yeah.
And then you are then influenced by the Corporation Council, who will lie to you, and I've proven that on this show with other things, with the matter in Y. Kelly, where one of the head Corporation Councils just flat out lied. And we have those documents, and we posted them up on carolcox.com a while back.
Can't they do perjury in some way?
Pardon me?
Can't they charge somebody like that for perjury?
Who's going to charge you? If you get to appoint your friend that'll prosecute people, and then if you get to go at the chief of police, and you have the power and to appoint the ethics commission,
he's a poop's crook, man.
You know, this is a crook's paradise here, brother.
Yeah, the cops are even crooks.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in this vein, you know, it's you think it's checks and balances, but what it is, it's more of a I got you policy in government here. You see, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Yeah, you might be the chief of police, but I'm going to hang you out to dry, right?
Yeah, and you went against even our rules.
Yeah, and then so, in fact, speaking of the chief of police, you know, when we did this thing on the border water supply, we had employees that exposed the fact that there were millions, $20, $30 million being squandered and diverted in border water supply and misused and all kinds of things. So the Ethics Commission goes and investigate the complaint, but you know what their complaint was to investigate was who told Carol Cox, who leaked documents out that would disclose that there was fraud in border water supply.
So the honest guy.
Yeah, and so now they turn that around. Everybody's shocked now that the chief of police is saying, wait, I want to file an ethics complaint. Because I want to know who the whistleblowers were, or something as it was phrased, and I think he just want to know what transpired. Well, you know, I mean, if you're using something, you should be able to challenge your witnesses, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Unless, but when I say that is that you really shouldn't. Anonymous is anonymous, but when these Ethics Commission, Chuck Tato and Lisa DeCaris goes out and attack the employees in the Board of Water Supply who leaked information out to me and the rest of the media, and then train their barbs on the employees who came forward and disclosed this information, this criminal information.
It's confidential.
Right.
They turned the tables on.
Now all of a sudden they package it up and say, look at the chief of police. He wants to know who blew the whistle. Well, hell, you lent yourself to that ethics commission. You allowed Letha DeCaris, a contract worker, to come in and go and threaten people and harangue them and threaten them with a punishment and all for telling the truth. Now all of a sudden you want to frown on the chief of police for wanting to do exactly what's already been done.
Yeah, and you're talking like this because you're invested in it, because without a good police department and they're true to the public, that's scary.
I mean, And every whistleblower should be protected. I mean, that's something.
The beginning of a Gestapo.
Right, but if you got an ethics commission ethic commissioner like Chuck Tato and his hired gun, when they lend themselves to behaviors that is questionable or not investigating certain things but investigating other things, that's, you know, then something's wrong. Right?
So the bottom up and the seat up.
Yeah. So
it's the top, if it's rotten, it's just then when it was planted, him himself is at that position. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
already protocol in the police department.
I mean, was it Rex Smith who was on the ethics commission or the police commission or what have you? And then there's the guy that owns BEI, is was or is still on the Tekla, Tell four. And so friends of Mufi Hanneman, who he used to work with, Mark Teckler, I think, or whatever. So when you get this, selecting and appointing people to serve on these commissions, the, quote, ethics commission and the police ethics commission, you have to, if I was a policeman, I'd be as nervous as all get up, because it's all set up to serve the appointing official. Or it's set up to serve the people who are in power, who's in good standing with the corruption. You disappeared there. But anyway, that's that. And so corruption, is it? I think it's all of the above. It just poor human values, wanting something for nothing. And who's to say that companies don't hire and select individuals that work for them and then find that it's better to support them and get them inside of government and then in turn control? Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, sorry, I got cut off or something, brother.
Yeah, no, nobody's cutting you off. It's just you got bad phone, man.
Yeah, well, I'm just in back of the valley. I got to keep the phone real packed, right where it goes down real low in the V.
Like,
right there,
I can kind of drop off. So what you got to do is when you call, just find a tree and just climb up there and then
well,
just...
I'm going to get the phone like that. And I keep the phone up, you know, at the southwest direction.
Yeah, well, that's encouraging. What people will go... Yeah, that's heartwarming to hear you say that. What you'd go, what length you'll go to listen to the show. That's all right. But you're breaking up badly now. I don't know what is happening. But anyway, later on, if you get a clear area, you can call back. Yeah, yeah. All right, you're getting a terrible echo.
Oh, the worst. Okay.
Now that's.
I need a new phone service.
That's better there.
Later.
So, but anyway, all righty. Thank you. 524-1080 if you'd like to call in. It's rainy. You ain't got places to go today, and traffic is wet, and roads are slippery. So call in. Give us a piece of your mind. Or give them a piece of your mind. But anyway, that's that ruling from the judge on the materials seized by people is enough to... It suggests that something's terribly wrong. And what's terribly wrong is that this mayor will go and put his hat in the ring again to become mayor. And we watched him. The rail is questionable, and many of the practices there and the handling of that matter. And then here's civil rights violations and all kinds of stuff, and abridgment of the rights of people, the homeless, the less fortunate. And then he comes and just stiffs you with his goons. I mean, yeah, they're collecting, and if you know that, I pointed out to you, one guy had a arrest record 3 times that was heading the squad to go and seize. And then others were deputies in the city council, in the city's workforce on the Mufi Hanneman. So something's wrong here, folks. And if we lend ourselves to it and tolerate it, you know, then we get the good government that we allow. Go ahead, caller, with your comments or questions.
Thank you very much for taking my call. apropos what you're saying, in this morning's newspaper, there is an article, Charter Panel Chairman Leaving for Rail Position, Jesse Suki. Let me explain how I'm involved. I went before the Charter Commission live to speak for the handy van for the bus against the rail. Later, I saw some of my documents that I didn't realize, but he was on a committee or a position of power, and he was for the rail. Now, this is years ago. He is chairman of the Charter Commission. They are the ones that accept the public and private and anyone who wants to have something proposed to the legislature. So therefore, Suki is now leaving the charter, and he's going to work for Hart. And I've been to six meetings, if I've been to one over the last 12 days. They do not know what they're doing. I don't think they ever knew what they're doing, except to make sure many people got enough money and higher position.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go on, but...
Because I read that, and one of the first things I thought of was, I wonder what Richard is, how this is faring with him. He's probably swallowing this real easy.
Listen, I have triple, double Jack Daniels with 12 bean backs, and I'm still talking.
Yeah, and this, it's who's not going to go work for Hart? That's what we should do. We should just put a list up. These people don't work for Hart, or these people are not going to work, because it seems like Hanabusa, she loses her butt in the elections, and voila, she becomes Hart. Right?
Yeah, I have to speak up for her, though, because I
on this show.
She has an oversight position on Hart,
right.
And I've heard her twice, three times, and they are not happy with the candidate.
I understand that, but
let me go on and say that the most dangerous is Hart. They are semi-autonomous.
Mm-hmm.
When I was at the Charter Commission, about which I just spoke, semi-autonomous came up and discussed for about 15 or 20 minutes. Governor Wahe, who is on the 13-member charter board, said, city representative, Hart representative, can you define semi-autonomous for me? And they can't. I understand that the sovereign state or the federal government and then the locals are all involved. But what the hell does semi-autonomous mean? Can you bring them to court? You could bring a legislator, a city council member, a mayor, a governor. But if you're semi-autonomous, what does that allow you to do? Because they also have eminent domain. They can take your property. They are not voted on. They are appointed by the mayor.
Right, and the city council and the corporation council is their legal advisor.
City council sues the mayor. The corporate council represents the city council.
You sue the
mayor sues the city council, and the corporate council represents the mayor.
Of course. That's the American system. Let's tie it up and choke it.
That's exactly right. And when you talk about the three, legislative, executive, and judicial, they're all linked.
Yeah.
So well, what recourse does the common citizen have? I'm from San Francisco. I was there at the civil rights. I was there when Hayakawa was on top of the van with his megaphone. I was there when the Cadillac dealership on Van Ness Avenue has 500 kids in all the way to stop. I was there for the civil rights. I was there with the Black Panther, with them, but I was there.
And you know what I was doing at that time?
What were you doing?
Trying to get my civil rights.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Cox. Exactly right.
So I don't know if that helps.
No, it does. No, of course. Why do you think? Because the majority, the minority was the ones who were affected by the civil rights. And when you leave it up to the states, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, right now, in terms of what we've just been speaking locally, I think the only solution is the federal government.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one interesting point. I was doing some research on the slaves in the South. Before the southern states or territories could get recognized, they needed at least 5,000 whites in that territory. But there are times when the blacks outnumbered the whites, even though they were slaves.
Yes.
So are we always a minority in the game?
No. Yeah, gerrymandering. No, they gerrymander. Of course they do. It's supposed to be square blocks or whatever. It's like a snake. The boundaries are like a snake all over.
Yeah, one man, one vote.
Yeah.
Right.
If we had a direct democracy, we would have one person, one vote.
Period.
We have a republic.
Yeah.
That means we elect the people who have the power. the people who have the power come from a republic kind of democracy.
If I can, let me change the subject while I got you here.
Please.
I was thinking the other day, and I'm just listening to all of this war talk and drum beatings and who hate who, and the Christians don't want these guys to come in because this neighborhood is going to be bad, you know, and I've seen all that. And I heard some commentary, some women were talking, and they say, well, you see, they're able to, I think they were speaking of ices or whatever, the icicles, the popsicles or whatever. Yesterday it was Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda, and then it was somebody else, Fallujah, you know, and now it's ISIS and ISO and, you know. But anyway, whatever their alphabets are, the women were Western women, and they were talking, and they said, well, you know, these women are lured in there by the promise that they're going to find love. And I was thinking, you see, this is the Western way of marginalizing people. Women can, and I don't advocate for any violence. I hate to pick up the paper, and I hate to see the news, anybody dying and maimed for any reason, because it's all nonsense. But to have women to sit there and dismiss and quantify or characterize the women that are going abroad to join these groups as being very ignorant and dumb, and all they're looking for is sex and a little love. What does that say about what are we saying about the women that believe in that? They can't be really in believing what they're going to help and change something, or are they looking for a big you know, Mr. Goodbar?
What does it say about our public?
Yeah, you know, I mean, to dismiss, and I know, hearing all the talk, and well, you know, did you hear what he just said? You know,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm asking the question, because why would you think that? Was Joan of Arc looking for Mr. Goodbar?
No, let me continue.
Or was she an intelligent woman that cared and wanted to?
Some of the tactics I've actually been through, they want endearment. So when you are going to vote or when you're going to testify, if you and they have been kind and they tap you on the shoulder and Howard Richard and all that crap, that's a way, a rhetorical way. But more generally and universally, there's an abuse of evil, which means if there's a problem, it's a religious problem.
Mm-hmm.
And these are evil. George Bush, evil, Ronald Reagan, evil empire. It's hiding behind the real problem. You're not dealing with the real problem.
Wait, let's put one, there's a couple more alphabets in there. There's Obama.
Of course.
And he resorted to also violence, and he's been pulling the trigger, too. So
they,
you know,
all do.
Yeah, and so it's like, you know, isn't it funny? I'm concerned with America because we don't have any open discussion now. I've been hearing more chatter about who's wrong on the other side, and we don't, for some reason, we don't start from square one and say, what triggers this? Do we have any behavior to be blamed? Or are we responsible for any portion of this?
I tell you who is really China. China, the Asia bank they want to create, Asian infrastructure bank, and the difference between World Bank and IFM, whatever it is that China doesn't have any strings attached or very few strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's the World Bank or IMF, there are a lot of things attached.
Yeah.
And that they have figured out through transportation, they can go from Beijing to Korea to Laos to India,
mm-hmm,
on their train.
Mm-hmm.
And that train is a market train.
Mm-hmm.
Because along the train that they built will be Chinese merchants. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I just tossed it out there because I was looking and going back to the homeless situation with the mayor.
Yeah.
Is it going to cost him anything in politically? I mean, or did it just, was it a whisper that, well, you know, the courts made this ruling that what they were doing was illegal and they, it was, you know, adverse to the Constitution?
I've been in two places with him elbow to elbow. One is Middle Street, second floor recreation room when he was there to testify when the engineers wanted to know, where's the backup generator? There's no money in your fiscal plan, but this is years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I was at middle school, and Washington Intermediate, and I was elbow to elbow him because he's at the podium and I'm in my walker, so I'm right next to the microphone. And so artificial, so empty of any substance, so inability to make your first statement, but then on direct examination, direct questions over and over again, he can't reply. Ann Kobayashi, when she had him at the microphone, wanted to know when this was all going to end. When will the rail be finished? And when? How long do you want the general excise tax to go? Question after, he wouldn't answer. She finally said, in the beginning, you said in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm.
You said forever. And he finally had to admit, yes, that's what I originally wanted to do, not just 5 years.
You know, I had someone in government, in city government, to share with me some insight.
Please.
And it's a strange animal. The mayor gets to appoint the department heads, right?
Yes.
Okay, so let's just say road and highway, or facilities maintenance, or parks, right?
Yes.
And let's just say that this is how the big stick is always, you never see this guy with the palaka shirt on with the big stick, but he has a big stick and by design, and we all allow this thing to develop, and the city council knows, and the mayor knows, so here's the deal. So he gets to appoint, we'll just say the parks and recreation head director.
Yes.
And the city councilman is going to approach the Parks and Recreation office for, because his constituents or her constituents are complaining that they need this or that in the park, and they're, you know, and then the city council person promises their constituents that they're going to get this.
Yes.
Now imagine that city councilman being at odds with the mayor. Then how fast do you think the mayor's appointed director is going to hurry to that park area and give that councilperson what they want?
Yes, if they do that.
No.
Or if they make up some excuse.
I mean, and so you look back, you sit back and says, I know what they call that. That's democracy.
Yeah, well, I've been there so many times that it's that what they say, yes, we consider that, and that's a good idea. And then maybe at this last meeting, it was about the general excise tax extension. It was also about the GMO bond, the general obligation bond and line of credit.
Mm-hmm.
Testified against both. But you are amazed. Every single time, I told you, I was at these eight meetings over the last 12 days. It's 98% against the rail.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are listening, and they're asking questions, the council people and others in positions of power. And it don't mean a damn thing.
No.
I mean, there's doctors there's public accountants there, and they come up with specific numbers and facts and alternatives. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Hold on. Let's entertain this.
Please.
Caller, hold on. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yo. What's up, Carol Cox?
Everything under the sun, man. What's up with you?
Not much.
Go ahead with the hoot out. Go ahead. I'm waiting.
Huh?
Go ahead. Aren't you going to tell us about the yell of the football game?
Well, I mean, I
go
know
Kahuku.
UH lost yesterday.
Huh?
I mean, they lost yesterday,
man.
UH lost yesterday. They lost to San Jose State.
Yeah, okay. Well, hopefully it get better. I was hoping to see the Bows.
Well, this is our last game, though. If we lose to Louisiana Monroe, well, we're already done anyways. I mean, we're not even in a bowl game this year.
So what's the solution? June Jones, who?
Our coach is gone. We didn't do so good this year.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me get off here. We're coming down the next hour. All righty. Well, thank you. So anyway, we'll come back in the next hour. But yeah, the things
you,
that
you had on Mr. Dooley, and he wrote the book Sunny Skies and Shady Characters.
Right? Did you get it?
No, I'm going to. But here is labor connection with the big unions. Hui, Ching, Mahalo, all involved with the unions as well as the criminal elements.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got you don't just have political people, but you've got the unions and you've got the crime. And how in the hell does just a person know what's going on?
You don't. And you might as well take a couple of rabbit's feet and put it in your pocket. And every once in a while, when you have something that really matters, take them out and rub them. Poor rabbit. Because
right. You know, that is the best. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mr. Cox, you are exactly right. And I wish people could be in my shoes and watch the body language. And before and after anybody testifies, when they're still arranging the microphone, it's just sickening.
Government is good business. I mean, it really, you know, we talk about fascism and all. The people, they come to you and say, well, I ran a business, and so yeah. That qualifies me to ruin your business. Well, whoa. No, we have many interests here, varied aspects of what we need. People in the community need a variety of things. Are you able to put aside your business approach and deal with the people in the democratic process?
Let me very quickly end this with, I have a ride to Lily Hall Bakery and back because I had to pick up something for a friend who has Lou Gehrig's disease in Kaneohe. And I got picked up by a cab because the person who lives here forgot that I wanted to go to Lily Hall. His name was Hamid, Hamid. I have a walker. He came. The walker's difficult to fold up. He folded it up. He helped me in the cab. He waited for me at Lily Hop Bakery. And then he did the same thing again and took me home. And he's from Iraq.
And
I wish I could have talked to him longer, but his name is Hamid. It's the cab. Hamid.
Well, my heart's warm over there, but I have one problem with that story.
What?
Why didn't you have Hamid to stop by the station here with some of those donuts and bring? Don't tell me how great he was. What about your love for us?
I have a liquor good humor, man. I'm going to send that as soon as I can.
That Leha Baker, if you like sugar and you like good dessert, my God, is that place is scary, isn't it?
No, it is. But the thing about it, you should see how many people are there for breakfast.
I know the pancakes is out of this world.
It is, and he's going to go there tomorrow. I just want to drop his name because he went over and beyond anything. His phone. Should I give his phone number?
Yeah, give his phone number. If
323-331.
Okay.
1064. Oh, 69. 323-331-1069.
Mm-hmm.
And his cab number was 120 this morning.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you next hour. I'm coming down in the last couple
of
minutes.
Yeah, no, I understand. Right. I have to go out to Kaneohe.
All right, and I'll remember that. No donuts. Okay. Thank you.
I know you can.
Aloha.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye. Getting me wrong,
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
Come on, little baby, play hide and go seek with me. Come on, baby, play hide and go seek with me. Playing the game where it ought to be.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. Many of the things I want to talk about, and some of the things that I've chatted about earlier, but just some new developments. I reached out to Tuopolo, the state representative out there in Waianae, to share with her the situation with Miley and the PCBs in the soil owned by the Coast Guard. And she suggested that there was the gentleman, Victor Flint, who's the liaison with the Navy, suggested that this matter had all been resolved and taken care of, and the PCBs or whatever it was cleaned up. So I just want to make sure that when we deal with fact, it's easier to deal with because you can just read straight from the documents. But when you read and dealing with BS, you just don't know. You look for the smell. And so whatever this gentleman's intentions were to undermine or whatever, there's no effort, no need to undermine anything. The fact is that there's PCB. And as recent as June 24th, 2014, the state of Hawaii, Department of Health, wrote a letter to Lieutenant Commander Clay McKinney, and it's regarding the 84-acre portion of the former Voice of America site, which we brought to you. And subject, funding approval for high priority cleanup to protect new residential community. Now, the claim was that, as she, Tupola, represented to me, well, he said that it was cleaned up and that matter was resolved. Well, it was never resolved, and just as I brought to you, the Coast Guard claimed to the state health department that they have acquired approximately $1.6 to $1.8 million and identified an individual who will be handling that and steering that to see that these things are cleaned up once and for all. But in the interim, this is just recently in the last week or so that they claim they've gotten the money and assuring that they will clean it up. So contrary to what Tupol and her sources said, Dear Lieutenant Commander, the letter states, the Hawaii Department of Health Hazardous and Emergency Response here office is overseeing investigation and planned cleanup activities at the 84-acre former Voice of America site in Maile. On the island of Oahu, the United States Coast Guard has conducted extensive characterization activities at the site and identified highly elevated concentrations of PCBs in surface and subsurface soils on approximately 4 acres of the site, but due to date has not received funding to proceed with the needed cleanup action. So that contradicts what Tupolo's sources provided her, but it's okay. We look for the truth here, and we don't have time for the nonsense. It is imperative, the letter goes on to say, that the U.S. Coast Guard make this cleanup a high priority for fiscal year 2015, as a residential neighborhood is being built immediately adjacent to the highly contaminated 4-acre transmitter building site that requires remediation. 5 homes directly abut the transmitter site are already occupied. The housing development is large, with many homes being completed. Many more families are moving in near the in the future, and continuing construction over the next few years while the contaminated site is securely fenced, preventing direct exposure to known contaminated soils. The site is dry, dusty, and windy, and wind-blown dispersal of contaminated surface soils to the neighboring homes is a concern, as it creates a potential soil ingestion hazard for children living there. So it's difficult to understand the title of this gentleman, Victor Flint, liaison. I've had three such incidents where he never contacts me, but he has seemed to have this tendency of working ahead in his official capacity as a community liaison on behalf of the Navy. Well, I just wish you would cut it out and at least read, and not try to get an audience, because the reality is the facts are the facts, and things are, people can die or get ill, or terribly ill, and you're out there preaching nonsense. The funding proposal will allow complete removal of contaminated soils to unrestricted use, and thus restore the property and preserve the newly developing community land, the values of the land, and sense of safety. While the state of Hawaii has been patient in the past due to limited human receptors in the area, circumstances have changed and action is needed. So anyway, we can't afford this. And you hear me time and time again say, you know, it's about the children, it's about the environment, it's about the animals. And I'm not just making that up. This is reality. PCBs are deadly. And this letter goes on page 2. Written 6/25/2014 to the Coast Guard from the State Health Department, Department of Health, here office. U.S. Coast Guard fence line to complete delineation of PCB contamination in this control area. They have been very proactive, quickly completing procurement for the needed sampling, scheduled to commence this week. If these bare soils have elevated concentrations of contaminants, immediate action will be needed to protect children by removing any direct contact exposure pathways. They also agreed to access and modify the existing signage as needed to ensure new residents their children do not attempt to enter the fenced area. So as I say in my early reports to you, that it was not properly fenced, properly signage or informing the people what is there. So this is a letter that confirms all of that that I had spoken to. So we're not here to mislead or entertain you. This is doing our best to just simply go out and get the facts about threats to the community, to the environment. And the effort is hopefully it will fall on somebody's ears that are concerned, that really have the community's interest and the environment's interest in at hand. Not someone that's looking for a quick fix on TV and then tell me, oh, well, they said it's already cleaned up. So my trust and admiration for politicians, once again, is tarnished. It gives me a dim light when the reality is what I do is you'd have to pay for it. You couldn't afford it. But it's okay. And let's talk about a couple things with the we talked about the solar voltaic building at that's being built now, being proposed, and there's an environmental impact statement out, and have been, I think it's complete or still waiting for comments, out at Campbell Industrial Park back of the H Power plant. And and that stems from violations, as I had shared with you on the show earlier, last week and week before last, that this building is a part of a settlement and a consent decree to build, the city is required to build a $16.1 million building to house solar voltaic panels to generate electricity to somewhat offset the harm that they have done, as identified by the Environmental Protection Agency, that said that they did not have a gas collection system there in the landfill as required because of the closed landfill. So they were being punished and having to build this building and then also having to pay $875,000. Now, an interesting thing, now that was due to air pollution, right? It stems from the lack of concern or putting in measures to protect the air here in the state of Hawaii, and the pollution contributed by decaying matter up in the landfill, chloroforms and all of that. Now, some of you may have seen the article, but the Star Advertiser did an article, and Sophie Koch was the author of the reporter, and the title was IGE Urges EPA to Delay Air Quality Regulations. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, it's about time. I think David Ige has had his honeymoon now, and it's time for David Ige to be responsible and speak to the people and not be the Wizard of Oz. He's behaving just like the Wizard of Oz. We have written him letters. He don't respond. These are letters that, one, for example, involved the what we believe the wrongful prosecution of the truck drivers at the Radford High School debacle, and the hauling and transporting of chemicals and contaminated soils and what have you from that site. Also the Makalapa. Mr. Ige is behaving as if it's the king and I. I'm just going to tell you, we're not expecting much from him because he has a busy schedule, just like we ask things of him. I'm sure the entire population of the state would love to have him respond. We know that's not possible, but we also know that, for example, I call to inquire, where are my letters of the response? Well, we're a bit behind, and it'll take about 3 to 4 months to get to you. Oh, really? Okay, that's fine. But then I come across this where David Ige, the governor of the state of Hawaii, is asking the EPA to delay implementations of the rules, the new rules of the mercury and air toxic standards are expected to take effect in April, the article says. We know that that's what EPA is promoting. Though a June U.S. Supreme Court ruling raises questions about whether the EPA can legally make Hawaii companies comply with the national standards. Now, why would the governor, the sitting county of Honolulu, is signing on a consent decree for failing to protect the air and the quality of air and emitting hundreds if not thousands of tons of methane gas, chloroform, and all the other polyvinyl chlorides that are in the air. And our governor rushes to the microphone and says, why don't you delay this, the implementation of these new rules? So something is to be had about that. The article quotes the governor, says, I'm seeking flexibility from the federal government in delaying and in dealing with the MATS rule, that's the Mercury Air Toxic Standards, because I'm committed to 100% renewable energy, Ige said during an interview with the Honolulu Star Advertiser. Quote, my pitch to the federal regulators is, I believe, we get more value by directing all of the investment in renewable, and as we increase the use of renewables, we burn less oil, and therefore we emit less emissions, period. This is just a clear example of how disjointed and how much BS is being floated in the air by politicians. This, you couldn't get two nickels for that comment. There's no sense to it. There's no logic. Because in the same breath, while he's asking them to delay, the EPA has already fined the city. The city is building a building to put solar voltaic because this is their payback for screwing up the air. And then the governor, not knowing or whatever, the city and county of Honolulu decides to recycle refrigerators inside of this building. And part of the recycling process, talking about clean air and becoming more using renewables, this program of recycling the refrigerators, the reason, the stated reason, is that they want to take the metal from the refrigerator and then take the plastics and the foams and the rubbers and burn them to generate electricity. Is that renewable? So at some point you would think that both entities would, one, the violator, the regulator, the city and county of Honolulu, the violator, the state, the regulator. It's so disjointed that I don't believe that we will ever, ever enjoy clean air, clean water, because you got double talk, you got double speak, you got people running out saying, don't implement the laws, don't put them into effect, because I want to go 100% renewable. But then, if that's true, then are we being efficient in managing HECO, NextEra, that's proposed? Why are we having such slow response in getting solar panels and getting permits from the people if you want to be 100%? So is this gobbledygook, or is this just what politicians say? But I believe that it's time that Governor David Ige put up a shut up. I think he's been behind that Wizard of Oz curtain a little too long. And whether it's with the Department of Land and Natural Resources, he did appoint Suzanne Case, but that's a flop for sure. Nothing gets done. I spoke with her about the ROPA, the relief of officers being relieved of duty because they're under some paperwork violation. And yet, she spoke with me. Things have gotten worse before they get better. We have little to no patrol in certain areas, and Waianae side in certain districts, and she can't resolve this. But she's busy importing other people from out of state to come here to work on various things, alien species, because they have monies that they got to spend by the end of the year. So for those of you that support Suzanne Case, you owe it to the environment, you owe it to the people. Just because she's friendly and smile, she is not demonstrating good management. She won't do anything about Ed Underwood. We've brought to her many, many situations now that show the poor management. And then if you look at the bumblebee, it's in the paper today, I think, where the party got the extension and got the extension. They should have known that these people would have done a bankruptcy. And yet there's no few. They are saying, well, we want commercial activities and we want to encourage and the growth in the harbors and get maximum use. And yet there is not a gas source or fueling station in one of the main harbors, the Alawai Boat Harbor. Suzanne Case is a failure. And, yes, she's able to deal with her little special interests. And, yes, she's with the Nature Conservancy. And we're still going to ask. We want to know, what grants does she oversee that if money is given to the Nature Conservancy on the grants from the Department of Forestry and Wildlife? And so I think there's a grand conflict here that is yet to present itself openly. And we're going to hopefully get down to it and ask those questions, because something is wrong here. And I know those of you that support Suzanne Case, God bless your souls. But if you're straight up and you are concerned across the board, you need to get her in line and tell her that she worked for the people. She does not work for Nature Conservancy. She does not have special agendas. We have an interest in preserving and protecting the environment. Do that by working with all parties. I talked to some of the fishermen. They had a meeting scheduled with the governor. Well, the governor, apparently, I'm told. Now, I don't know if some of those fishermen don't give all the great details, but what I'm told, in part, is that she came to a meeting and she did a lot of listening, but they don't believe that they're going to get any results. And I share the same sentiment, because Suzanne Case has brought with her the privatization mode, our way of operating. Well, see, in the Nature Conservancy, she can declare, oh, I'm a private organization and I don't have to disclose anything to you. But her methods of operation, selecting people, appointing people that are clearly out of the system, part-time. I'm even told the person that heads a water commission or SeaWorm is on a modified week schedule. So I think in the long run, just I guess in comparison to Abercrombie, and hold me to my words later, remind me, but I think we're going to see a failure that is going to result from the dysfunctionality and the ineptness on the part of the governor. And the governor doesn't have to know everything. David Ige does not have to know everything. He might be an engineer, but what he's doing is relying on people to serve as obstacles, obstructionists in the way in this process. Unless that changes, I think in the next 2 years, we're going to see some horrendous rulings, horrendous management practices, and it has to stop. I mean, let's go look at the dengue fever situation. It's under his watch. It's under his appointees. It's under his authority. I remember when it first came out, oh, well, it's not really going to be, it's going to be okay, and then all of a sudden, boom, boom, it's exploding, right? What does it take? But going back to him wanting to suspend the air quality rules of the MATS is something that really is troublesome. And so I know if he did know that the city was fined $875,000, and then having to build a building for $16 million, then something's wrong. There's no communication. I mean, what is he managing? If we get fined that much money for pollution, and then he's objecting? That, to me, raises some grave concerns. I mean, leaves me just sitting here going, I don't have much hope. it seems that what I think I would be satisfied with is to see this governor come out and speak to us, talk to us. Instead, he's behind the curtain, not responding to, you go to the office, you talk about homelessness. There's no real policies, no real aggressiveness. That's across the board, both the city and the state. But they believe that standing up and speaking out on behalf of the big producers, the city, for example, it had to do with smokestacks and people that, you know, generating air pollution. You would think he would definitely know what's going on with the city because they're running three boilers and they're burning trash. To include the, they're burning human waste now. And so why wouldn't the governor or someone in the health department, before he made that statement of delaying, requesting the EPA delay, was he not briefed on the current situations or how bad they were or what was going on? So that suggests that there's a disconnect. To me, and my prediction is, if we continue this pattern of the way he deals with things, we're going to fail. We're going to find ourselves in a very bad situation, both legally and financially. I don't believe that he may have the wherewithal and all that's necessary, but the way he's approaching it now, all I can say is I remember Abercrombie. Same, not as aggressive, but we don't really know what he's doing. But we also know that there are some, you know, under the Department of Transportation, who in their right mind would say, well, we got most of the road and the potholes in the new lane on H1 fixed to a point, but we're going to walk away and leave it there. And, well, don't you think in its condition it might get worse? What the traffic is, it should we just finish the job? These kinds of allowances, these tolerating such practices of behavior is just simply wrong. So I'm suggesting to all of you out there that something has to change, and there are other aspects of this administration or businesses that he's not addressing. Was it in the environment, was it homelessness, or the economy? I'm saying something got to give. The Department of Land and Natural Resources, I believe that two things should take place. The DLNR, they've advertised for a law enforcement chief now, but the person that was there in an acting position, Suzanne Case, still utilizes his services. This is even after he posts his own personal rifles on the thing and letters to his wife or ex-wife, raising concerns. He's still operating. His deputy left the agency, went to work for Kaiser Hospitals as a security guard. Then he floated back, drifted back to the agency again. So we're not seeing professional behavior on the part of Case to tolerate this. Then I'm told that they brought in an investigator who is an employee now of the agency, the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And that agent then starts to conduct the investigation and I'm told start to threaten the people that file the complaint. So officers that file complaints saying that they were wrongfully treated, or improperly treated, or illegally treated, I'm told, and I'm waiting for the emails and the letters, that these officers now are having to file complaints against the investigator, who's supposedly investigating the complaints. I know it's confusing, but this is what this person came in. We had great expectations or hopes that she would come in and just give us a good job in managing. But there's such special interest in Suzanne Case and her approach to things. what's going to happen with the sea cucumbers? We saw that she orchestrated a big lie on that with her crew. We know that. We didn't get a response from the governor on that, and that's been several months. So it's one thing to be busy and not delegate. It's another thing to have the public write letters, then in turn have to call up to seek status, and then be told, we are behind, we won't get to you for about 3 months at most, the earliest. Is that good government? Is that what this gentleman promised that he would deliver to us? If you have any comments, 524-1080 is the number. But anyway, that's one of the things I think the governor needs to become familiar with everything. And this building, by the way, out there at Camel Industrial Park, it's going to go up, and there are endangered plants there, and everything is just going to pretty much be, they say it will be put in a fenced area. We don't need a $16 million building to house solar voltaic equipment. Because are we selling HECO? Is HECO buying all of our electric that we generate anyway, the electricity that we generate? We don't know. There's such a hook and crook. But I do have this to say. Keep your eyes and please tune in the coming weeks regarding Covanta, the operator of the H-Power. We believe that based on a lot of the things that we're finding, that something has to give. We're going to be filing a complaint with the SEC, the Securities Exchange, because it's a public operation organization, a funded, you know, business. And we believe that something has to give in the management. There's some things we brought to you a long time ago where we believe that Covanta is not getting reimbursed by its one of its recyclers for the scrap metal that it is sold or given to that company. And the city and county of Honolulu was also quiet about it. But I believe that based on our letters and contacts to the national corporation, keep your eyes open. I believe that there's going to be some shakeups coming. Because this is a publicly traded business company, and I know that violations can't be tolerated. And then to say that they want to recycle refrigerators and they have no expertise, and in their application they say that, but they're going to hire someone to. So how can the city give this contract to Covanta? And that's the other part. I want you to keep your ears to the rail and listening and eyes open, because there's this audit that's coming out, and if the auditor's true to their purpose, then we'll see a many of things that are answered here, and will might give us reason to seek another company in running the H-Power. I'm just saying, but these are my predictions, that something major will be developing and at this facility. So that's it's real critical. Speaking of trash and all of that, you see, where would you find people accepting the fact that we don't have enough trash drivers or truck drivers to operate the trash trucks? Someone, the earlier caller talked about the corruption in the union and what have you. I'm told now, and I don't have first-hand knowledge as on part of this, but I'm told that there have been workers have been complaining that they have to go, when they're working in the Kahala area, these homes get multiple houses, multiple cans for green waste, and that the yard cleaners or the gardeners load those up. And that then takes a lot of the time. But also, one of the other contributing factors is that Ukupau system, where you can, and I described it last week, I think, where you have your route and you go do it. And so that brings me to my next concern. I believe the mayor should immediately remove or fire Lori Kahakina for the many woes that she has presented, and I don't believe she has demonstrated good management, good ability, or sound management. And we have too many things that are costly to the taxpayer, you see. And to engage in handing the contract to Covanta for processing refrigerators, I believe that's a complete error on her part as manager, and the sewage spills and all of that. Now, while we're talking about the sewage spill, someone provided me pictures of, did you know that when we had the spill, they said some of the pumps were down or what have you, there were approximately 20 brand spanking new pumps that are used for emergencies. But they were housed or parked, and some of them are still parked. I have pictures of them parked in the Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Plant warehouse. So we spent nearly $1 million for several pumps and never used them, and we've flooded Waikiki. Something has to give. This mayor needs to tighten up the purse string and start firing and looking at removing Kahakina. I'm just saying, and you might share the same concerns, but please let him know the next time you're rubbing elbows with him or speaking with him. Because half of the cost that we're seeing is squandered because of poor management on her part. So that's one of the things, and talking about sewage and what have you, there's another thing that caught my attention, and that is, you see, in the news there's this debate now about cats and Toxoplasmosis gondii. And we had a show here for some while on this and talked about it. And Toxoplasmosis is, they're saying now, they being Noah and its people, that Toxoplasmosis is responsible or suspected for the cause of death in the monk seals, the recent death. And then they said N24 also may have died from that, and or her babies or whatever. And I don't have all the details in front of me now, but we've done a show. You can go to carolcox.com and listen to it. But here's what catches my eye with that. I don't believe, and let me tell you, I don't believe that there should be any cats in the wild. But who gives a hoot what I believe when the reality is our cultural practices is that we allow people to have cats and people are irresponsible for managing and containing, and so people don't neuter, they don't spay, they don't contain the cats. So we have a population of cats, lots and lots of cats. The Humane Society isn't going to do anything because the city doesn't really want to step out there and kill them all, and that's good. So we're in a quandary. So now you got this orchestrated effort on the part of the NOAA and its hired hands and contractors saying, oh, well, it's killing, they're dying from Toxoplasmosis. So I have a brochure that I use, and I talked about it earlier in the months back. And there's a chart, and it shows the cat, and I'm going to try, and cats consume infected host and parasite, the host and the parasite then reproduces in the digestive system of the cat. The cat then gives off feces and the eggs of that oocytes is from Toxoplasmosis is passed on into kitty litter, and then humans get it supposedly, and then it goes into the environment when they go to the bathroom out in the parks or wherever cats go to the bathroom, you know. And eggs shed from the cat feces is eaten by the hogs, and then the man eats the hog. And then there's another arrow that says that birds and rats are the intermediate hosts. They come along and eat what the cat drops on the ground. So it just sounds stupid, but just hear me out for a minute. So then on this map, they say that the arrow leads, demonstrating that it goes, the toxoplasmosis through feces goes into the environment. And they have a cloud with some rain, and it says rainfall washes eggs into the ocean. Now, I pride myself in believing in the environmental practices and sound practices, but I also believe that there are many lies to be told when scientists, they are still human, and they have their shortcomings and their frailties, and they are not perfect. They can lend themselves to lies, cheat, and what have you. So I ask myself, okay, they have this chart, this diagram, and so they want to kill all the cats because that's what's killing the toxoplasmosis. It's what's killing the cat, killing the monk seal, an endangered species. And then they show that the cat goes to the bathroom, and then the rain falls from our beautiful sky, and it washes eggs of toxoplasmosis into the ocean, and then the monk seal comes along and swallows the water, eats the fish that has consumed the eggs or the contaminated water with the toxoplasmosis in it. Now, that sounds good if you're a liberal environmentalist and you got your, you know, you got your thing on. You're going to buy into this crap. But where was the Noah when we had sewage spills on the beach at Waikiki, when we have sewage spills practically every heavy rain? Or we don't need heavy rains. Where's Noah? If they're saying that the cat goes to the bathroom and defecate out in the wild, in the environment, and the rain washes it down, and the rats also get it, and what have you, why aren't they, and we pump sewage in just a normal practice now, disposing our sewage water, why do we not see a sewage treatment plant in the diagram? Millions and billions of gallons is pumped every day where humans eat and defecate and pass it through the water. Cats, people take kitty litter and dump it. But why didn't we not see, or why doesn't the government deal with that? Because it would cost the city. They would have to go back and modify and look at the treatment process of the waste. And do you see them telling the public, don't flush kitty litter down? Do you see them telling the public not to flush human waste down the drain? What I'm saying is that this is a cute little statement that doesn't hold water. I don't want to see any harm come to the monk seal. But why such an aggressive, you see it in the newspaper now, but monk seals are dying, and we've seen miscarriages at various locations due to the RIMPAC and the sonar was suspected in having, and military operations and practices and drills. So are they approaching it, well, we'll just fix this and then we'll fix the rest of the problems later? Or is this a bunch of scientists looking for money to create a big lie and work off that lie and get millions and not really solving the problem? That's my only issue. If they think that they can eliminate one threat to the monk seal, I'm all for that. But don't lie to us and don't play games, because, and when I say this, I had to make a FOIA, and I made requests regarding toxoplasmosis months ago. And the gentleman, the head of the agency, said, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to answer any questions for you. But yet, they'll tell you their story the way they want it and at what pace, but they don't want to answer any questions. This is the National Oceanic Atmospheres Administration, or NIMS, National Marine Fisheries Service, Michael Tosato being the head. And you may have remembered that I talked about this toxoplasmosis, where the scientists say it appears it may have been. And still yet, what's there to say that if you're going to fix the problem, you say the cat is critical in this. This is fine, and I'm not going to argue with that. But are you going to chime in and start helping us manage these sewage spills, because that poses a threat to the monk seal? I believe across the board, I'm not saying you shouldn't take any action to manage and protect the monk seal, and if that requires dealing with the cat, but don't lie to us. You see, if you're truly, as a regulatory agency, as a protected species agency, and those of you that are out there contracting and running around making a big deal of it, we lose monk seals to what we believe is your actions, because you took a pregnant one off of White Sands Beach area, and because of the oil spill potentially from the tug barge that sank, and you took her right back, but you don't acknowledge that maybe your actions may have actually killed this animal that was pregnant and caused a miscarriage. You also misrepresented that the one out at Mokulea site, or died, one of them on that in that area, Malai Kahana, died, and you stated earlier, well, it died because it was stillbirth. But the necropsy report that you finally reported to us and provided us said that the animal ingested, it was born alive but breathed sand and had a bubbles of sand in its nostril, the nasal area, the lung area, and indicating that it was breathing and inhaling. But it also says that it's possible that rim pack activities cause a death, cause the parent to abandon the baby. So I'm just saying, let's not get caught up in more lies, and there is a need to manage all of these things, the threats, to protect the monk seal. And I'm still waiting for you to address the hooking incidences where monk seals are being hooked with fishing poles and fishing lines and massive hooks. What are you going to do about that? That was supposed to be a study. You indicated that you were working on it after 10, 12, 14 years. So let's not be political and take the least path of resistance and make it look like you're working and you're busy. Don't lie to us, because we're going to try and do everything to expose you. If cats are the threat and part of the problem, then let's deal with that. But don't focus on one and then turn a blind eye because it's political and you don't want to raise the mayor's issues, or you don't want to impact his political potentials or the governor's. We need, as scientists, you need, and the regulators, you need to protect everything across the board. No favors, no favoritism, no lies, but if you're saying that the rain washes fecal matter down to the ocean, and then the monk seal ingests it, then you need to be open and tell the truth, that the billions of gallons of water that are pumped from these waste treatment plants on a daily basis need to be addressed. We need to go to Wahiwa and say, no longer will you be allowed to pump water into the lake, which runs into the ocean eventually, that is not primary treated. You need to go to Sand Island and not just rely on ultraviolet lights and the other materials, the ferric chloride, to sterilize the water, to kill off the bacteria, because some of these things, you know. So across the board, you, NOAA, need to be straight enforce the law and not blame and not create a political situation where you can get grants and ask for more money. Because I don't believe there's one person on this island will allow you to wholesale slaughter cats. Maybe you will be, and cats should be contained, but for political reason to create this situation, this big lie, or half of a truth, and be so evil not to turn to the city government and say, this is what we're faced with. You can no longer pump sewage water into the ocean as we do now because toxoplasmosis is present. So a few thousand cats urinating and fecating on the bush compared to a half million, 2 million, a million people, depending on the population of tourists and what have you, coming here eating meat that's possibly infected with toxoplasmosis and then flushing it down the toilet, and then that all goes to the ocean like the rain clouds. Guess what? You're keeping us in the dark. And we don't need another lie. We need good management. The monk seal is one of the most critically endangered species there are. Let's not play games with it. Let's, if you have non-profit organizations doing your work as professionals, you show favoritism. And I want to share one last thing with you. This is the quality of people that you have working for you, Noah. And I was out at Nanakuli, and there was a monk seal came ashore, and there was a family there, and they were African American. And there was one of the volunteer workers there for Noah as part of their watch. And the people were moving away from the monk seal, but weren't moving fast enough, apparently. And they still had their things, because the monk seal came. If you've seen them, they come ashore sometimes real quick, depending on the surface. And this lady, who's a white person, says to the family, get your black asses out of here. And proceed. These are people that Noah has working for it, volunteering, and proceed to repeat it. And then was bold enough, and I asked her, well, what happened? Why did you say that? Well, I just told him, get your black ass out of here. You know, this is the quality of people that Noah, this is the quality of people that run Noah, work in Noah. They don't hire the local people. They don't have much room for you, because apparently we don't fit. Something has to give. Can we trust anything they say or do? So anyway, let's look out for the monk seal, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you for joining.
Maybe he's not much, just another man. Does she care when a woman loves a man? She'll just string along all through thick and thin till his ship comes in. Him when he's going strong, the last one to blame him when everything is wrong. It's such a one-sided game that they play, but women are funny that way. Tell her she's a fool, she'll say yes, I. But I love him so. That's how it is when a woman loves a man.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.